on the air. How's that sound? I don't know how many of y'all saw in the announcement. On the very back of the announcement sheet, it speaks of what do we want to do for the new year as far as growth goes. And one of the things that I suggested is that we read the Bible through. I know we've done that before. And, you know, most preachers will turn around and say, well, we read the Bible through all the time. But how many of you all have ever started reading the Bible through and then suddenly get discouraged along the way? And you quit reading it or whatever. And we all can get to that place where we think, oh, I'll catch up later. Well, the one thing that, you know, it takes 21 days to form a habit. That's what they've always told us. It takes 21 days. And I hate to say this, but we have to have the habit of reading the Word of God. Now, you know, and then I remember when I went through seminary, they said, we're going to read 10 chapters a day. I don't get anything out of reading 10 chapters a day. I do read 5. And the way that I do it and the way that it's been beneficial to me is I'll either listen to Alexander Scorby and I'll follow along with my Bible. And yes, I do dedicate time out of my busy day to sit down and read it. Or lately, I've actually heard audio drama, which you can actually do King James Version on YouTube. I'm not advertising for YouTube. And you can go ahead, and it's more of, they got a little music playing in the background. It's, you know, different people will jump into character, and it's really nice. It's a lot of fun. And, but it's entertaining as well as I'm learning from the Word of God as I go in. Now, it's not an excuse to prevent us from doing other studies, but that's one way to do it. But wait, there's more. One of the things that I thought about doing is saying, okay, I'm going to ask about 10 or 12 questions every week from the 35 verses that we're going to read. So day one would be 5 verses, day two all the way up 7 days, 7 times 5 is 35 verses. Or 35 chapters, not verses, 35 chapters. And then after we read those 35 chapters, then you can understand some of the questions. And I kind of give you a sample of what the question's like. What was the first mammals created by God and put on the earth? Now, unless you read the Bible, it would be whales. Whales and porpoises. Those are mammals. A little bit tricky, but something for you to think about. At what time did men begin to call upon the Lord in prayer? I'll let you look that one up. It's in the Bible. But anyway, the fact of the matter is this will give you an opportunity to read the Bible and kind of bring it together, and then you can share the answers with everyone as you take a look at it, and then week by week I would go ahead and put them in. All right? So I want to encourage you to read your Bibles, and I hope that you just don't do it just because the pastor said so, but you have a real desire to read the Bible through. All right, speaking of the Bible, let's look at the Word of God. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 119 this morning. And yes, I could read the entire chapter, and I would love every minute of it. You probably would get bored after about the first few verses that I read. But the reality is that I love the Word of God for what it says. And I want to give you a little bit of a principle about what goes on. Now, if you have a Thompson Chain Bible, you'll notice that right at the beginning, or right above the section I'm getting ready to read, at verse 105, is the word none. How many of y'all see that? If you have Thompson Chain, or even some of the Schofield, some of the others, have the word none above it. If you go above verse 1, it says a leaf. If you go above verse 9, it says Beth. Well, this is part of the Jewish alphabet. And there is a meaning behind every letter in the Jewish alphabet. There is a formal way of writing it. There is also what they would call a standard way of writing, how that the common people would write. But the thing is that this particular chapter, the biggest chapter in the Bible and the longest book of the Bible, is all about God's Word. And I can see as David writes this down, and by the way, if you look at it, every 8 verses, there is a new letter. Every 8 verses. And so what makes that so wonderful is that you can say, all right, the next section, the next section. And by the way, this is exactly the way it's written in the Hebrew text. It's nothing new. This is exactly the way it comes in the Hebrew text. And if you look at verse 105, we're going to read down from 105 to 112, which is going to be none. Notice what it says. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me the judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statute always, even unto the end. Now, before we finish, let's go over, if you will, and let's back up, and let's go to verse 9, and let's look at Beth. And then we're going to begin our services with that. Beth says this, beginning of verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have requests or respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in the statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about these two areas, or preach to thee about these two areas. And I want you to think about this. Imagine having a knowledge of the word of God so much that when you hear something, you immediately are attracted to it. Now, we have certain verses that we know. If I mention John 3:16, I guarantee you that everybody will immediately know that particular verse. If I speak of John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, where it speaks of the Lord going into heaven and preparing a place for us, we know exactly what that passage says. We could do Psalms 23. We could do Genesis 1. We could do John 1. We could do many other areas. But the reality is that David is writing here in the Psalms, or he is creating these Psalms, and as he does so, he wants it to be instilled in the minds of all that are around him. You know, I look for ways to instruct young people. The first youth group that I ever had, believe it or not, was when I was stationed in England. I was asked if I would lead a group of young people. And it was quite a phenomenon because they had all these English teachers, but now here comes this American all in the scene with all of his Americanisms, and they would love to have, you know, come in, and they would just want to see what mistakes the American would say. You know, it's like this, is that in America we say milk and cookies. Well, cookie over there is not like cookies here. And they don't drink a lot of milk. They have tea and crumpets, some say. You know, they do have tea and crumpets, you know. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, they kind of laugh because I would say milk and cookies over tea and crumpets. They would also, one day I was preaching, I said, and we need to put on a new wardrobe. Well, growing up, wardrobe meant new clothes. Wardrobe to them is a closet. So you can imagine when I was saying put on a new wardrobe, they were thinking about how do we put on a new closet? You know, do we go into the closet or do we go out? If you ever watch the movie The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, they go into a wardrobe. They don't go into a closet. They go into a wardrobe, and in the back of that wardrobe is where they come out into the land of Narnia. Well, I bring all this up to you because the beauty of this word is not to trick us over words, but to get us to think about what needs to be said. Now, there is a reason that I wanted to start with none, which is over here, beginning at verse 105. And the reason that I wanted to start with none was to give us an idea how much that we need to go from just hearing the Word of God to implying the Word of God. Now, every one of us hear it. And I guarantee you that, you know, somewhere in this message you might go, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. It goes beyond agreeing to going into changing your life. Changing your ways. You see, there's one thing to where we, you know, there's one thing to put it in mind. There's another thing to live it by heart. Now, understand this. When we talk about the heart has been changed for the redeemed. Now, I want you to get this. You see, the old sinful heart, as it says in the book of Ezekiel, was a heart of stone. But now that you have been redeemed, you've been given a heart of flesh. You've been given a heart that beats, that grows. And so this heart that is within your chest that I speak of, and we're speaking of a spiritual chest, not necessarily the physical heart that's in your body, gives us the understanding, gives us something that we can meditate upon, gives us something that we can grow from. I'm learning every day how to meditate on one particular thought at a time. And if we can learn the power of meditation when it comes to the Word of God, we can become all of that and more. So I want to take this passage this morning, beginning with 9. We're going to look at that, and then afterwards we're going to go back to Beth and see the application there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to not only study your word together, but we might learn from it. Lord, let me not just stand up before the people, but Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take the message, and whether it is by people who are listening online or people that are here in attendance, that they might grow and that they may secure these things to themselves. I'm sure, Lord, that sometimes a person might just tune in. We would say it's by chance, but we know it's all by you. And that they can hear something that they have never heard before, and they have a question about it. Lord, even then, let them have the courage whereby to say, I want to know more. So, Lord, whatever may be the circumstance, what may ever be the example, help us to explore the things that you give us from your word and apply it in our life. So guide us today, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you and lead and direct in the message today. In Christ we pray, amen. I oftentimes make this statement, and in a way I do it half-heartedly, but we do have a number of people that will tune in and listen to the message. And when they tune in, I would love for them, especially if they have a question, to pin that out. They can either do it on the website, they can do it through Messenger, they can send us an email, they can text it. Whatever it's going to be, ask that question. To me, there is no such thing as a dumb question. And I think the more that we grow in the things of the Lord, the more that we need to understand that there is no dumb question. Now, I want you to see something in particular. We all know my feet and a light unto my path. Now, we say that. In fact, there's a song that we actually sing a lot of times with our young people. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And we'll sing that song with them so that they might gather a little bit more from that message. But the reality is that before the word becomes a light, it needs to be something inside of you and instilled in you. Now, here's the thing. I can apply by memory a lot of verses into this brain. I have not reached the capacity of my brain when it comes to memorizing the Word of God. Some verses are easy to memorize. Others take a lot more study and a lot more dedication. I remember this, that when I was going through a particular trying part of my life, I put to memory Psalms 37, verses 4, 5, and I also began to learn verse 6. My favorite passage of Scripture was Galatians chapter 2:20. And the reason that I memorized that particular verse was because I was visiting a church when I was a GI stationed in Illinois, and that church decided that they were going to memorize certain verses of the Bible. And the first verse that they picked out was Galatians 2:20. And I have allowed that to be a part of me ever since that time. Whether anybody else in that church memorized it, I don't know. I know that I did. But it's one thing to have it from memory. It's another thing to live it from the heart. So the one thing I want us to look at today is, do you really have that message in your heart? And when I say that, I mean it from this point. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Do you realize this, that by having that term light or lamp unto the feet means that something has to exist within you to where that you can shine it forth? What did Jesus say? Ye are the light of the world. Now understand this. if the world is going to look at me for light, then I have to have the light in me. Now, the thing that I can also say to everyone that is here today, I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And because He is the light of the world, the light of the world is in me. We sing that old song, don't we? The light of this world is Jesus. But the world can have Jesus as its light, but the Lord has chosen someone like me to be the distributor of that light. Now, think about that for a moment. If I am going to be that light, that means everything that I do ought to be reflective of the light of Christ that is in me. And so as I meditate upon these things, I'm thinking about what has Christ done for me. Now, here's what's interesting, and I want to show this to you just for a moment. If you go back, and we're going to go all the way to Exodus, and let's go to chapter 33, we see the first application of this term, Exodus chapter 33, we see the application of none. Now, we kind of look at it as something that is a little bit different. But let's look at verse 11 of Exodus chapter 33. If I say none, that means nothing to most people. But in the Hebrew, none means son of life. And put that down. In Hebrew, none means son of life. So look at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of life, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, let's read what it says once again. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, here's the thing that I find is so amazing. You know how many examples that we have in the Bible where God spoke to one individual and his sons or those around him were blessed by it? Let's go back to Abram. God said to Abram, he said, take thy son, thy only begotten son, and go to a mount that I will show you, and there offer him up. And it was while he was upon that mount, and here was Isaac all bound up, already on the wood, the knife in Abraham's hand, and Abraham getting ready to come down and kill his son, that the voice from heaven spoke. And not only that, Isaac benefited from hearing the message. Let's go to the other one. What about Noah? Here Noah listened to God. It said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Later on, God said to Noah alone, here are the dimensions for the ark that you're going to build. He built the ark. It was after they came off the ark that Noah and his family heard God. And what did God say? Now, populate yourself. His own sons saw the hand of God because of the blessings of one named Noah. Not only that, they saw the sky. And this will ever be an example to you that I will never destroy the earth again by flood. There's a promise. So the reality is that when we dedicate ourselves to serving the Lord our God, there is going to be a blessing that others around us are going to see. Think about this. Here the Lord is walking through a great crowd. And as the Lord's walking through a great crowd, one woman grabs the hem of his garment because she was suffering with a blood issue. And one woman... And what did Jesus say? Stop. Somebody touched me. Now, do you think the Lord knew who it was? But then... Why did you touch me? Because I knew you could heal me when no one else could. Whether, and think about, I mean, I could use example after example that we saw the man that was blind, that the Lord put the salve upon his eyes, said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He came back, did not know who Jesus was, but his eyes were open, and he gave praise and glory to God. time and time again, when there is a change in you, you're going to share that change with others. And when we meditate upon the things of God, when we hear the message, we cannot wait to share the message with. Now, I am blessed that I have you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to tell about Jesus Christ and to share with you the things that I learn. I read something or I hear something, and it's exciting to me. Sometimes I think you're all a bunch of sinners without any kind of joy in your heart. No, I'm just kidding. But in that way it should be. I read something from the Word of God, and it ought to bring excitement in me. And if it brings excitement in to me, it should be exciting to you. Can you imagine, as we're reading our Bibles through this year, and say, Brother Prater, I just saw something interesting in here. I remember the first time that I read about Abraham or Abram and Sarah, and Sarah said, I'm beyond my life, my childbearing years. I never saw that before. I never saw that before. Can I bring joy? Can I bring happiness? Can I bring a little excitement into Abraham's life? I don't think so. And yet the Lord said, you're going to have a kid this time, next year. So who's going to be true and who's going to be false? And because Sarah and Abraham laughed, God said, you can name him Isaac, which means laughter. Well, can you imagine people after Sarah had her baby goes, oh, is that your grandchild? No, it's mine. Yours? You don't think God doesn't have a sense of humor? I was pastoring a church in Burnside, Kentucky. And I remember there that one of the ladies came in. She goes, we're so excited because my daughter's going to have a baby. I said, well, congratulations. And a month later, she came in. She goes, Brother Prater, can I talk to you? I said, well, yeah. She goes, my husband and I are going to have a baby. I said, you know what would really be funny? Is if you all ended up in the hospital together, your daughter in one room and you in the other. She goes, that's not funny. And it happened just like that. It happened in Danville, Kentucky, of all places. And every time I would see her child, I would say, so are you going to name that child Isaac? So everybody will know what that means. But the reality is, God can bring a message from seemingly nowhere. And the reality that I see in this is that God would take and give the name to Joshua and say, you're the son of life. Why was he called the son of life? Because he benefited from listening to Moses and hearing God speak to Moses. Look at that verse again. Notice what it says. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, who was listening? And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Why did he not want to leave the tabernacle? This is a great place. This is great. This is a place of life. Have you ever been in the house of God and the message and everything about the service was so wonderful that you said, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. Someone gets saved. I don't want to leave this place because this is so special. Someone is baptized. I don't want to leave this place because this is so special. Every service we have ought to be that way. I can enjoy the things of God because this is a place of life. And where there is life, I can meditate it. You let this church see souls saved, and that message gets out into the community, you're not going to be able to stop yourself, maybe being at work, and you're going to go, man, we had some great services last night. So-and-so got saved. Really? Yep, we're going to have services tonight. Why don't you come be with us? Wouldn't it be wonderful if they showed up and then they got saved? There would be such an excitement that more would come, and more would come, and more would come. In fact, I will tell you this. Many years ago, Brother Clint Keith was preaching over in Marion, Kentucky. He called me and he said, Brother Minos Cox got saved. Brother Cox was 90 years of age. And he pretended to be saved for a long, long time. And Brother Cox made this statement. He said, he told his wife, he said, every morning, I looked over to see if you were still beside me because I knew the Lord was coming and you would be taken and I would be left behind. He said, but I know today I didn't have to look over because I know that when I go, when you go, I'll be right with you. That's the true joy of salvation. I know because I know what I know. you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, there ought to be great joy in your house. The next aspect of it is what we found over here in the book of Psalms, chapter 119. And this is the special part. We just read it, and it's titled Beth. And out of Beth, notice what it says in verses 10 and 11. With the whole heart have I sought thee. Now, wait a minute. Can I honestly say that with every ounce of my being, I have sought after the Lord? You know, I will tell you that growing up, I wanted to see real Christianity in action. I really did. I saw churches that they were excited because souls were being saved. And at the same time, what happens is we get to a place where we grow more in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we grow in knowledge should not make us stony. It should make us ever more fiery. Let this sink in your head. Growing in the Lord should not make us more stony. It should make us grow more fiery. And what I mean by that is that too many times people will sit down with the Word of God, and they espouse so much from the Word of God that they forget that the first commandment is go. Arthur W. Pink was a great writer. Arthur W. Pink was a great servant of the Lord. The whole time that he evangelized, there was a power to his writings. But Arthur W. Pink made the determination that he was going to go into his closet and learn everything he could about the Word of God. And his writings became very stony, became very stoic. And it wasn't until he had left that chamber and come back out and started evangelizing the people that his writings became alive again. Let me just say something, folks. We believe in election. We believe in predestination, but that does not give us a right to sit around and do nothing. It should ever make us excited that out there, whether I'm going to get them in or not, I know that they are there, and all I have to do is preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. That's the joy. Nothing really happened. Well, how many people did the Lord reach out to and nobody listened to him? And he is the Savior. How many times did the Apostle Paul preach and he met resistance? And yet he continued. But here's what I love about this verse that we find over here in Psalms 119, verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. That's what I want to do. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. All right. Lord, I'm getting ready to study. What is it that you want me to present to the people? I'm in your house. Do you realize the word Beth means house? This is not the house. The house is here. Listen, come on. This is not the house. The house is here. Lord, what message do you want me to learn so that I can also be a blessing to others? You got it? That's the joy I have. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Lord embodied every bit of it, did he not? And so when you think about that, there is the joy that is here. All we have to do is ask, Lord, may thy Spirit lead me in my studies today. Show me what you want. And can you imagine just twirling, somebody calls you and say, oh, I was just meditating upon what I was shown in the Word of God today. What were you shown? And you share it and they go, wow, I needed that. Have you ever shared something from the Word of God and someone said, that's exactly what I needed for today? That's what we ought to do. Having such a meditative mind, having such a house, having such a principle, that we're not afraid to live it for Christ. But look at the rest of it. But wait, there's more. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, I'm going to tell you what, folks. my mind, if I just put it right here in my mind, it's not going very far. I can commit these verses to mind, but when I commit them to heart, they lead me. They convict me. They help me to understand. I don't want just conviction on Sunday morning. I want conviction on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 365. 7/24/365. I want that every bit of me. Every second, every hour. Not so that I can look pious or act pious before others, but that I can demonstrate what Christ has done for me. And if I bring this to place and I hide it in my heart, then there's a new life that beats. Remember what I said none was? None is life. Remember what I said was? The house. You want to make a difference in your life? Let your heart beat with the message of Christ. Think about the impact it'll have upon you, and the world will be changed by it. Am I off base? That's what I love about this. And David understood that. Can you imagine as David was instructing his kids, maybe Solomon, Solomon, listen to what I have to tell you. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Dad, how can you hide it in your heart? You want to talk about something hard? Try to bring it down to where a child can understand it. Years ago when my son Tony was just a baby, or he wasn't very old, we were living in Germany at the time, and we had this little girl that lived upstairs, and Tony was about 4 or 5 years of age, and he looked at me and said, Dad, where does God live? That's a good question, right? And I just said, up there. You know, being very theological, trying to bring it down to my son's level. A little bit later, I'm listening to Tony as he tries to explain to the little girl. He goes, God lives in the attic. My daddy said so. I didn't say that, but that's what he understood by me pointing straight up in the air. He's up there. And you know, sadly, I want you to get this, that's where people want to put God. They want to put God somewhere where they can control him. Well, I ask some puppet that we can control. God isn't our genie. He's not our puppet. Instead, God says, come, child. Come abide with me. Do you realize that, think about this, how many millions upon this earth know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and he's never too busy for us to come into his presence. And if I come in, I can bow my knee and say, Father, I desire to be with you. Come on in, Mike. Come on in. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And the closer I am with the Lord God, the more I understand my sinful ways. I need this book. I need this relationship. And together these things grow that we might understand the fullness thereof. So the connection is found in what we just read. One more time, what we want to look at is, let's go to Romans chapter 9. And we'll get ready to conclude with this one. Romans chapter 10. And I want you to see this, how simple the message of salvation is. Romans chapter 10, and let's go down to verse 9. All right, now watch this. Do we not make salvation difficult for people? But look how simple. When verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that's the first message, right? Do you know, time and time again, when I'm talking to someone, I bring them to this part, I'll say, look how simple this is. Do you truly believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? I don't have to beg them to say a sinner's prayer. I don't have to beg them to do anything. It's a simple delivery. I remember years ago that I was visiting when I was pastoring down in Burnside. I visited a young person. Let me just tell you a little history. They had been starting to come on a Wednesday night. People don't come to church on Wednesday night. They always start on Sunday. But this man and woman came to church on Wednesday night, and I assumed they were saved. Well, months went by, and I finally looked at him. I said, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And I was shocked to hear him say, I'm not saved. And I said, Brad, I don't understand. What do you mean you're not saved? I said, you come to church on Wednesday. He said, well, my wife and I were talking about it, and our little girl is now about 3 years of age, and we thought it's time that she starts attending church. So we've been looking for a church, and you're the first one we came to on a Wednesday night. And they never left. And I said, well, do you want to know Jesus as your Savior? He said, I do. I said, well, can I? Now, understand, they had been months listening to me preach. And I had never asked them, do you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Oh, that sounds Arminian to me. Really? Where's that Arminian to do that? Get over your bad self. And I remember I went to his house, and I witnessed to Brad and his wife, Debbie, and I told him about Jesus. And I looked at Brad, and I said, Brad, will you now receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said, no, I'm not ready. I said, all right, Brad. I said, would you mind if I came back over? I hope you will. And I left. A couple weeks later, I went over, and I said, Brad, can I come back and visit? He said, yeah, please. And I witnessed, I think I used the same exact verses I had before. And right in the middle, I said, Brad, will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And tears were running down his face. And he goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I want Jesus as my Savior. I didn't do anything. Guys, please understand it. The joy was I got to harvest fruit. And while Brad had tears flowing down his face, Debbie was like, I believe that Jesus is my Savior, not a tear one. But she trusted Christ as well. And I had the joy of baptizing them, and I got the joy of teaching their daughter. Later on, their second daughter. Let me just tell you something. We try to complicate salvation, don't we? Come on now, let's be honest. What do you mean you're saved? Follow me. We'll take them into this back room. We'll turn out all the lights. Put a single light in front of their face. We've got a few questions for you. How do you know you're saved? It is a simple application. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made. I've said this before. I remember my son Jeremy after he came back from youth camp, and I was so afraid he went to camp and they would use some sort of high-level tactics to try to drag him to the front and be saved. And I remember when Jeremy got home, I'm giving him the fifth degree. I'm putting him in that dark room with the light on his face and everything. I mean, I wanted him to really be able to tell me. What can a 9-year-old tell me? And the thing that stopped me in my tracks was when he asked me, Dad, don't you believe me? That'll hurt. That'll hurt. I had to swallow my own tears back. And I said, I believe you, son. And instead of being joyful at that moment, I had been painful. But now I know that my son is saved. The simple confession of a baby, I believe. What does verse 10 say? Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth. Wah! That's the first thing you want to do with a baby. They spank the baby to get it to go, wah! Isn't it funny? We're looking for the cry of a newborn. And the cry of the newborn is, I believe. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Those that are listening in for the first time, we take it for granted that so many people here know Jesus, but what about yourselves? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You don't have to say a sinner's prayer. You don't have to do anything of those natures. But if you believe with all your heart, you can't wait to tell someone that Jesus is my Savior. And I would love to spend time with you to get to know more about your saving grace and your life. So this morning we've had the message, and I pray the Lord will bless it. In a moment we're going to have a dismissal song, but let's go to the Lord in prayer as we finish this day. Father, thank you again for your righteousness. Lord, let us learn the value of Beth and Nun from your word. Lord, let our bodies be your temple, and let this temple be the house whereby we can proclaim Jesus Christ in our lives and all that we do. But let it be a house of life, Lord, as we know with the word none, where it says that this is life, and the life which we now see is the life that we manifest. Let that light shine from me. Let your word be ever in my heart so it may light my path, and that it may shine for the world to see. Oh, Lord, use me in the years that you give me upon this earth. Whatever I have left in this time, let me be the valuable tool that will be able to tell others of Christ. And may the Holy Spirit take the message and deliver it in such a way that others may know Christ as well, and that we may all rejoice together as a body and as a church. So bless us, Lord, and lead us. And if there's one that knows you not as Lord and Savior, let them not be ashamed to say so, that they may cry out, Abba, Father, and that others may come to know Jesus for themselves in such a rich and powerful way. And we leave this all in your hands, for it's in Christ we pray. Amen. God bless. Brother Randy, would you come and lead us in the last song?